like Pastor John said, there's an event coming on Monday, but I think he got it wrong. It's the Purdue game. The Purdue game's coming on Monday. but I don't think 250,000 people are coming into Central Indiana to watch that Purdue game, though they should. The 250,000 people are coming in to see the eclipse. And scientists say that it's going to start at 1:50. And totality will hit a couple minutes after 3 o'clock. And scientists tell us that the birds are going to stop singing. That the air is going to drop somewhere between like 5 to 15 degrees. That there's going to be utter darkness over this land, at least Columbus, Indiana, for 3 minutes and 45 seconds. And scientists tell us that the traffic is going to be awful. the scientists are telling us a lot of things about the eclipse and how the moon is going to be in front of the sun, but between the earth and the sun, and you got the corona around it. And only when the corona is around it, only then can you take your glasses off and look at the handiwork of the creator of the heavens and the earth. Now, why are we talking so much about the science behind the eclipse, what scientists are saying? Well, this morning we are launching into a new teaching series that we're calling What About This? Where we're taking some of the questions that you guys have given to us and trying to provide a clear and biblical scriptural response to them. But the heart behind the message is very simple. The heart behind this message is just simply this. We know that life is harder than it should be. That's the effects of the fall into sin. Life is harder than it should be. Weeds and thorns and thistles come up, making work harder than it should be. There is now pain in childbearing. Bringing life into this world is harder than it should be. There is strain in marriages and relationships and friendships, making life harder than it should be. That's really a theme of our entire lives, right? If you look at your life, it is harder than it should be because death has entered into this world. Life, including all of those topics up there, those conversations are harder than they should be. From the series, here's what you can expect. You can expect a loving pastoral response because we know that life is harder than it should be. But we also know that we have just about 20 minutes, give or take an extra 20 or so, up here to preach to you these subjects. And we know that that's not enough time. It's not enough time to really dig into these wells. So what we're going to do is we're going to be flying about that 10,000-foot level for these topics. But we know that when we're flying up here, you guys might have questions about what's going on down here. So once again, for this series, we're going to encourage you guys to text us using that same number that we use for the resurrection series. If you have any questions along the lines, text that number, 812-775-2300. And here's our promise. It's the same promise that we made during the resurrection series, is that we will get you a clear and concise biblical answer a little later in the week. But we thought it would be a fun way to kind of kick the series off, piggybacking off the eclipse, talking about faith and science. But the cultural narrative that's there is actually not faith and science, is it? It's faith or science, right? You either hold to the positions of science, letting go some of the truths of faith, or you hold to the truths of faith, letting go to some of the truths of science. The cultural narrative, it's usually either or. Culture thinks that when you guys come in, you guys check your brains at the door, right? Check them out. And and we fill you with information, and then on your way out, feel free to grab them back. And then it is your job to kind of figure out how what we talk about on Sunday applies to your Monday. But we know as followers of Jesus, that's not what it's like at all. Because we know that our faith can hold up to the hard questions. It has for 2,000 years. I was having breakfast with someone in this week, and they came and said, I have questions. I'm a curious Christian. And I said, that's really the only kind of Christians that there should be, right? Curious ones, ones who look to understand the faith. But this idea that it's either science or faith, just know that that's not how it always was. If you think some of those big universities that are known for their scientific findings, right? I'm talking like Princeton and Yale and Harvard and Dartmouth and Duke and Oxford, right? All of those big universities that are known for their scientific findings have Christian foundings. So at some point in time, science and faith, well, one could argue, served one another, that they helped one another out. Yes, though culture might give us this dichotomy of either faith or science, Scripture doesn't. There is no anti-science rhetoric in Scripture at all. In fact, Scripture holds to that line that science and faith look to serve each other. Just like everything in this world, though, all within its limits. We see that in Genesis chapter 1. When we were reading through the creation account, there's a specific mandate, a specific command that God gives humanity. He tells us this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." It goes on to say, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air and every living creature that moves on the ground. So we have this mandate to subdue creation, to rule over it. And part of subduing it is discovering it. And that's what science is all about. Science is about discovering God's creation. Right, Adam and Eve were supposed to discover how to provide food for their family. They were supposed to discover how to provide shelter for their families. They were supposed to discover how eventually we'll have Teslas that drive their own self, right? We, part of this idea of science is that we discover creation. And one could argue that you can't really live out the mandate of subduing this earth without science. You see, science looks to ask one big question. The question that science looks to ask is this: what is this world? What is this world? So what do they find? Well, they find that actually this world is pretty orderly. It follows a set of rules. Though faith tells us that sin brought chaos into this world, science tells us that the rules that God made are pretty orderly. For example, this idea of gravity, right? What goes up must come down. That's a rule. Or this rule made by Newton himself, right? An object at rest stays at rest until acted upon by another force or another object. Science tells us that for 3 minutes and 45 seconds tomorrow, we're going to be in utter darkness. Now, this is not like we know this is coming, right? This is the order of creation. It's not like all of a sudden we get to 3:05 tomorrow and we're all going, what's going on? Why is everything dark? No, we know. The world is orderly. We know that in order to figure out acceleration, you need to divide velocity by time. And we all have flashbacks to physics in high school. Maybe some of us should pay a little bit more attention. Science looks to ask, what is this world? We are to discover God's creation. And we know that when we dive into and discover God's creation, we will find his fingerprints all throughout it. But science is not just about discovery. Science is also about sustainability, right? You could argue that it's really hard to subdue and have dominion over a world that is not here, right? So we help sustain this world. The fact that some of your trash no longer goes into the trash, but the recycling, so not as much goes into the landfill, that's a good thing, right? It's helped sustain this earth. The fact that iPads can drive tractors, I haven't quite figured out if that's a good one yet, but the fact that the iPads are able to minimize the amount of distance between the seeds, to maximize the amount of crops that the earth is able to produce for us, that is a good thing. Yes, science is about discovery, but science is also about sustainability. Science and faith serve one another, but always within its limits. So what does it look like for science to be outside of its limits? What does it look like for reason and thinking to be outside of its limits? I have a $5 word for you, one that you can write down, you can go tell your people, and they'd be like, wow, you're in church, way to go, good job. These phrases are this, the ministerium use of reason and the magisterial use of reason. And if you're like, man, what is that? I'm glad that you're here. We get to talk about it. We have, in our theology, a good understanding of reason, of thinking, of free thinking, right? We say it's good, right? Because that's what allows you to read scripture, right? Reason. It's what allows you to fully follow the arguments that the Gospels give to us for the resurrection of Christ. Reason is a good thing, and we use reason within the ministerium use. Here's what the ministerium use of reason is. Ministerium use of reason is when reason submits to and serves the gospel. That's a good use of reason, right? Scripture tells us that Jesus did miracles, right? That Jesus turned water into wine. Science hasn't quite figured out how to do that yet. So we use reason. We say, you know what? Jesus did it. We're not quite sure how he did it, but by faith, we believe it. The magisterial use of reason is when reason stands over and above the gospel, like a magistrate, that's where that word comes from, and judges it on the basis of argument and evidence. A magisterial use of reason would be to look at the miracles and say, there's no way you can turn water into wine, so it didn't happen. The magisterial use of reason would say there's no way that somebody could die and then resurrect themselves. So it didn't happen. Think about it this way. There are things that science cannot tell us. Science cannot tell us morality. Science cannot tell us ethics. Science cannot reveal Christ to you as your needed Savior. And one could argue that science devoid of morality and ethics and spirituality and the teachings of Jesus is a very dangerous thing. Take, for example, eugenics, right? Eugenics is this idea that somebody could, if they wanted to, according to them, create a desirable race. Science tells us that it's possible. Faith tells us that it's a terrible idea. We know that there are things that science can't tell us. We know that science has its limits because we know that there are some things on this earth that we just can't discover naturally. And that's where faith comes in. So if science looks to answer the question, what is the world? Faith looks to ask the question, why is this world? Think about it this way. Science tells you that you are alive. Science tells you that your heart is beating. Science tells you that you have neurons in your brain and they form synapses so they're able to tell you when to laugh and when to cry. That's what science tells you. Faith tells you why you're alive. Faith tells you that you're alive because of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. He has fulfilled all of your needs. So he frees you to serve the needs of your neighbor and help your neighbor flourish. Science tells you that you are one of billions of people. One of 8 billion, actually. And you can feel really small really quick. But faith tells you that though you're one of 8 billion people, your one matters. And in fact, faith would tell you that God would leave the rest of the 8 billion people to find the one, to find you. And when you come back, when the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter comes back, faith tells you that your heavenly Father throws a lavish party each and every time. That's faith. Science tells you that you can hear, that you have an eardrum and it's connected to your ear canal and somehow gets into your brain, and though these speakers certainly help, right, that it's your brain that is able to help you listen. Faith tells you that God wants to listen to you. Faith tells you that God's ear is on your heart, wanting to know all of the desires and the longings. He wants to hear when life is harder than it should be. Science tells you that there's gravity, right? What comes up must come down. Faith tells you that Christ went up and one day he will come back down. Science tells you that an object in rest stays at rest unless enacted upon by another object. Faith tells you that when you are in that rest, when you're in that spiritual rest, when you have died, it is the force of Christ's resurrection that will be upon you, that will make you to start, move again. Science tells us that for 3 minutes and 45 seconds on Monday, Columbus is going to be utterly dark. Faith tells us that one day darkness will be no more because Christ will have returned. You can put 8 billion scientists in this room and they will never fully be able to understand the fullness of faith. Why? Because faith at times goes against all the empirical evidence that we have. There's some things that we just can't discover naturally that science and faith look to serve one another. I want to end looking at Psalm 19. If you've ever seen an Instagram post of like a sunrise, right, or a sunset, they might have hashtagged like Psalm 19 verse 1. Here's what it says, hashtag no filter, right? Here's what it says. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the works of his hands. Here's what you need to know. You will see this come true on Monday. On Monday, a couple ticks after 3 o'clock, you will see the heavens declare the glory of God. You will see the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Because we know that when we start discovering creation, we will see God's fingerprints everywhere. On Monday, you will see science and faith serving one another. I think Albert Einstein said it best, one of the best modern scholars of science in our day. I love this quote. Here's what he says. Science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind. Faith and science serve one another, all within its limits. There's one more thing that you can expect. Every single week, as we go through all of these topics, you can expect to see a QR code. And starting from here on out, starting next week, this will be in your bulletin. And what this QR code will give you, if you scan it now, it will give you a list of books. If you want to dive in deeper to this intersection of theology and science, we will update this list of books as we go through all of these topics. If you scan this QR code now, there will be a number system going from number 1 to number 5. Here's what you need to know. 1 is like, this is an easy read. Read it over a weekend, no problem. 5 is like, don't read it when you're going to bed because it's like an academic, very seminary level read. It's just really dense. But choose the book that you think that you would get best and continue to dive into these topics so that you can know what God says about this. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.